bless you, brothers and sisters. Good morning. I trust you all are doing well. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer together? We'll ask Brother Kennedy if he would lead us the Lord in prayer this morning.
Almighty God, yes. Lord Jesus Christ, O merciful Father, we look unto you this morning again, O God.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, we praise you for this day, O God. Lord, we thank you for your new mercies, your compassions. We thank you, O God, for all you have already done for us this day. O Father, we pray this morning, O God, you would help us, Lord.
Yes.
As your servants here and around the world, O God, attempt to bring your word, O God.
Yes.
Lord, we pray you would send the dynamics upon the mechanics, O God.
Yes.
We understand all the mechanics, Lord. What we really need,
yes,
is the dynamics, Lord.
Yes.
Help us, we pray this morning, O God.
Yes.
Bless each and every soul, Lord God. Yes. Heal every sick, save every lost. Yes. As we come it all to you in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, if we can turn our Bibles to the book of Revelations, chapter 3, starting with verse 20. Revelations chapter 3, starting with verse 20. Thank the Lord for visitors and those who are able to be here with us. Amen. See you, Brother Gino. Met him yesterday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, here's a scripture, Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to take a subject this morning for a Sunday school class. Perhaps it'll be just for this morning. Don't know if it's going to be a series or not, but particularly on the Godhead, but focusing on the Father. The Father. Okay, so I know when people hear Godhead, then we're thinking about, you know, baptism, name of Jesus Christ, titles, and discussion of that. But we want to see our position in Christ, and so we want the Godhead is who Christ is essentially, and so we need to be able to see ourselves in the entire economy of God. Are we all together there? And so it's one Spirit, but there are many members, lack of a better word, executing the will of that Spirit with this body. And when I say with this body has no control, but is put under subjection. But God is using this vessel, because this vessel is vile, it's corrupt, and different things. And you've heard it preached a couple of times recently about the black dog, the white dog, but this flesh here, there's nothing good about it, right? And so we have to be able to distinguish between the flesh and the Spirit. And so, you know, a lot of times when discussing scriptures or discussing the message of the hour, you know, it seems to blend together, but we must be able to, by spiritual discernment, discern when we're talking about the Spirit and when we're talking about the flesh. And so in that blur between is where the devil wants to catch us. And so when we talk about that, we're talking about where people will glorify the flesh. You know, God will do a great thing for somebody, but then people will glorify that flesh. And by glorifying that flesh, you're giving worship to something that's sinful and vile. You understand what I'm saying? And so must understand, the understanding about it is the Spirit that's working through there, and that flesh is in subjection. So always giving glory to the Spirit that resides within that body. So, you know, like, for instance, the prophet that, you know, people respect, they love the prophet, and they adore in such a way that it almost begins to be, and it does in a carnal way, to worship the man, right? Just like in the book of Daniel, where they worshiped Daniel, the prophet, right? Because he did such a great thing. God used him to do such a great thing. And then they began to worship the holy man. And there was an idol made of that. We all understand that. And so we have to be able to distinguish between those two. Now, going into the scripture, talking about this subject of Father. And so as we look at the Father, we ought to be able to see not just as it applies to God, not just as it applies to Jesus Christ, not just as it applies to fathers or husbands, but each member, because we're all tied to the same Spirit. Do we understand? So when we look at the scripture that we just read about, Revelations chapter 3, verse 21 is talking about the Father. It says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. So I would like to take that word Father for a second and break that down a little bit. So in the Greek, the word Father, Pater, and so there's some definitions in here that may help illuminate or reveal a little bit more about this. Now, how many understands that, you know, you read the scriptures, you read the message of the hour, that you don't get it all at one time, but it's a progressive revelation. So what you know today is different than what you knew last year, and it's progressively opening itself up. And it's just like the natural, as we're children, we grow up and then we have a greater understanding as we grow more mature. So it's the same with the spiritual sense, that we may think that we know, but then when we go to next year, the year after, man, I really didn't know, right? And so as the prophet was saying, you know, the more that I know of God, the more I realize I don't know. And so then we realize how small we are. And so when you know very little of Christ, then that's when people kind of have a little bit of a big head. And that's why in the scriptures it talks about, you know, the position of a bishop or a pastor, you don't put a novice in there. You don't put somebody that's young, because they can get big-headed about it, you know. When we first got an understanding of the revealed truths of the hour, that, you know, there was a big, wow, I know a lot. And if you don't watch it, then you can start to get a big head about it, right? And so I know personally, you know, my parents, being Pentecostal ministers, both of them in the Assemblies of God. And so when I got an understanding of the revelation of the Godhead, the baptism and different things, and so, you know, there was a borderline where it's almost like you're trying to teach, you get into a spirit like you're trying to teach them. You understand what I'm saying? And so you can get that. So knowledge puppeth up, or makes us get boastful, but charity edifieth it. So charity brings us to humbleness. Amen. And so that's key to the way to Christ, is to humble ourselves, because it's constantly making ourselves acknowledge that we don't know anything and this flesh cannot do anything. Because, you know, when you see, if you try to live this Bible by your flesh, when I say this man, this wretched man that was born in sin and iniquity and come to the world speaking lies, if you try to do it with this flesh man, what will happen is you'll start to glory in it. Amen. Because you're doing it yourself, and so you'll get puffed up. And so that's opposite of the Spirit of Christ. So therefore, you cannot in any way, shape, or form fulfill the Spirit of God in the flesh. There's no way to do it, because you try to understand, you try to do things, and you're just going to get puffed up if you're going to be successful in some part of it. And so you can see that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they start to get that little bit of puffed up. And so, you know, you're trying to teach us. Who are you? You know, you are in sin and you're trying to teach us. And then, you know, you don't even, you're not even 50 years old and, you know, you knew Abraham, all these different things. So there was this pedestal that they were on, and it was because it was built up by the flesh. So looking at this definition here, it says, Father, one advanced in years, a senior, the originator and transmitter of anything. So Father, you know, your originator. That makes sense. Of anything, the authors of a family or a society of persons animated by the same spirit as himself, one who has infused his own spirit into others, who actuates and governs their minds. So a father is trying to take what they know and what they understand in the same spirit and to transfer that over to somebody. And so as God was doing that from the beginning, if you remember in Colossians chapter 1, I believe, but it's talking about how the Father created the Son, and the Son created all things, right? Let's turn to that scripture here for a second. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now it goes down to verse 15. Who is, talking about the Son, I'm sorry, in verse 13 it talks about the Son. In this verse 15 it says, who is, talking about the Son, the image of the invisible God, who is a Father, the firstborn of every creature. So he was the first to come out of God, right? And so a son is some person or something that comes out from the originator, right? Not necessarily the flesh man, Jesus Christ, but something that came out from God when God began to want to express himself in the beginning. And we know that in the book of Genesis that is a whole start of the expression of God. Because God was by himself, right? We all understand that, invisible. And then he had ideas in his mind and he wanted to express who he was. And Genesis talks about the expression of that. And so it says, in the beginning, God created. So he began to be a father to create. And then he created the heavens and the earth. And then he began to shape the earth and all those different things. But he began to express himself. And you begin to see the characters in the Bible that expressed the image of Christ all throughout the scripture. So is God taking his mind and then expressing himself. But the first part of that was the Son. And it says here, it says, in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven. So the Son created all things. Amen. So I know that's hidden in there because people believe it was just a spirit that created, but it was the Son that created it all, right? In heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is above all things, before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So he is the head of the church, right? But who is the head of the Son? It was the Father. And so the same nature that was in the Father went in the Son. And so the Son is executing the same thing or the same mind that the Father had. Do we all understand? So it's a progressive transfer of the Spirit of God and the thoughts and mind of God. Now, when we look back and we say, what was the Son? Then we go back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Because if you match these scriptures and you match John chapter 1, they're talking about the same thing. The Word being the Logos. And the word Logos being the thought and mind of God. So the words of God, including the concept, the ideas, the thought and mind of God. Do you understand? Because one word can mean something to Brother Marcel, something can mean to me, can mean something different to somebody else. Like some people grow up in different cultures of society, so I can't think of a particular example, but like in the South, you know, or in the country, they, you know, Brother Brand makes this expression, hair off the dog's back is good for the bite. So he understands what that means, right? He's from the country. But, you know, northern people, especially people from other countries, they hear that, they're like, what does that mean? So it can mean something, they can interpret it to mean something else. And so you take those same words from three different people and it means different things. And so you have to catch the thought and mind of the originator who came up with that expression. Amen. And then you catch it. And so that's the same with the Word. We have to catch the thought and mind of God, of what He had in the beginning when that Word came forth. And so when we look at even the message of the hour, that Brother Branham interchanges different words. Soul, spirit, you know, different words, born again, new birth, and different things. He kind of interchanges. And, you know, there's several different examples of what he does that, but you have to not just look at the word, but you have to catch the spirit Amen. By which he's talking. Right. Amen. So this is not an intellectual thing that we take words and we match words together, but it is catching the spirit, Amen. The mind of God. Then we understand, then we can execute the mind of Christ, getting the mind of Christ. Now, so looking at this definition again, so actuates and governs their minds, so our minds need to be filled with God. Amen. And so God's got to take our twisted thinking that we came up with since our birth, Amen. You know, our interpretations that come from our own selves, our denominations that we've come from and different things, and straighten that all out and make it clear. So he's got to cultivate and clear up our minds. Amen. And sometimes that takes a little bit of time. Sometimes you have to have the revelation where God just strikes you in the head and says, this is the truth, and then it just corrects all your thinking Amen. Before. Because, right. you know, when you look at some of the things that you believed before, say you were in a denomination or something and believed a certain way for a certain doctrine, and you believed it that way, you just took it and accepted it. But then when God revealed it to you, then you knew that the baptism was to be in the name of Jesus Amen. Christ. Or what understanding our relationship with God, understanding the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whatever it may be, but we've got to correct our mind. But the Father is trying to do that. Amen. And, you know, he was passing it to the Son. And as we'll see here later, Jesus did the same thing the Father did. He passed that on to his children. Amen. So now you see the disciples are with Jesus, and Jesus is explaining things to them and teaching them and different things, and he's trying to transfer what he has in his mind and his spirit to them Amen. And show them. Amen. Now, let's turn to John chapter 5, if we would. John chapter 5, starting with verse 18, let's start with 17. John chapter 5, starting with verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Now, at the men's meeting, I remember a brother talking about this specific scripture. And, you know, I believe that's what the fivefold ministry is there for, to bring the word in such a way, different angles, so that we can understand the mind of Christ. That's why he has five folds in the ministry, because some ways you get it from this angle and you continue to get it. But there's an area in your mind that is just staying there, an old denominational thinking, old way of thinking, your own self, and it can't get unlocked in there until it comes from another angle. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you ever heard fresh set of eyes? So, you know, you look at people, they can't solve this problem, and they've been looking at the problem for a long time, and they can't solve it, so they bring somebody outside, and then they look at it, and they say, whoa, you missed this and this and this. And then they, boom, they fix the problem. Right. Because it's another angle that you're looking at. So the fivefold ministry looks at, you know, teachers, prophets, evangelists, pastors, apostles, etc. They bring it all in a different angle. And Many of you all have experienced with this, know what I'm talking about, that there are some things that you're sitting in the church for a long time, and this thing that you're dealing with, you may not even know you're dealing with it, but you have this going on, and then an evangelist comes through and preaches something, and then you're freed. You're set free Amen. From that thinking. Amen. And so, but with this showing, so God showed Christ, or the Son, how to do this, how to do all these things. He showed it to him. Now look at what Jesus did. So Jesus didn't just tell them what to do, but he showed them how to do it. Do you understand? And so he was teaching them, he was cultivating their minds, but he was also demonstrating to them and showing them. And so when I heard the brother kind of bring it at that angle, I'm like, I'm just thinking about this like in a prophetic way, like, you know, he saw a vision and then therefore he executed the vision. But, you know, when you take Jesus and how he treated the disciples, then he was teaching them, he was training them, he was discipling them, he was mentoring them and leading them to the Holy Ghost. Amen. So it's just not about, are you saved kind of thing. But remember, as Brother Bam talked about Billy Graham, he would preach and 30,000 souls would come to the altar and be saved. And then he'd come back, a few months later and he couldn't find 30. It's because they weren't led to the power of God. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? There's a stages, we all understand that, into the full manifestation of Christ. You know, we are saved, but that's just the beginning. And then we're sanctified, and then we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then we move on to grow as mature sons and daughters of God. And so Paul was always trying to, he converted one, and then when he come back, there were 30, right? Because he was trying to get them to the power, trying to get them to the Holy Ghost. And once they reach that Holy Ghost, then once you got that Holy Ghost, then you're sealed. And so your destination is, you're good. And then God's just going to continue to grow. Are you mature enough? No. But God's going to continue to mature you. But you're in because you've passed the gateway of where God is trying to get you through. You've proven that your obedience to the Word of God, your willingness, your heart to obey God. And then He gives you the Holy Ghost. The Scripture says He gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. So when we read the Word of God, that's why humbleness is so important, because we come to the Word of God and a realization of that Word of God, and then we humble ourselves to it and say, Lord, help me. You know, I know that I'm not doing right, and my flesh is saying, just forget that, because it's painful for the flesh. It's telling him he's wrong, but there's something inside, a seed says, that's correct, and I must humble myself and then move forward. Amen. So humbleness. Now, when we talk about the showing, so, you know, a father in the family. And so we take that down from the disciples and Jesus discipling the disciples and bringing them to the Holy Ghost. Remember, they all went, but one, he did not fully accept. Nobody's forced into this, right? Everybody has a choice. So Judas had a choice. And so he chose not to humble himself to the fullness of the Word of God. Something got him, and he just turned away from it. You know, we see the example of Demas. He came so close, but then at the end, he rejected Paul, right, and that ministry. And we see the young rich ruler. And, you know, Brother Branham has that message, leadership, because leadership is all about followership. And so we must be able to follow that ultimate head, which is Christ. And so, a pastor is always in submission to Christ, so he's a good follower, and that's what makes him a good leader, you understand? And so, but the rich young ruler, he had a chance, and so he, when faced with the truth, then he couldn't humble himself. It was too important for his riches or his lifestyle or whatever it is, and it doesn't have to be riches or lifestyle. It can be one single thing. It doesn't have any relation to riches or lifestyle, but it's that one thing that you must give up. And God will bring each believer to that point. You have to make a decision for that thing that you hold so dear in the flesh, and make you make a decision. So he chose the wrong decision, and therefore we know that what happened to him. And so we want to make the right decision. Now, so he says, also in the definition of father, it says, a title of honor, teachers, as those to whom pupils trace back the knowledge and training they have received. So there's a capital F and there's a little F, as we know, you know, fathers in homes, and fathers in the homes, or fathers, you know, older people with experience in the church, they're to help lead and teach those pupils to Christ. Amen. You understand? Knowledge and training they received, whose prerogative it was by virtue of the wisdom and experience in which they excelled to take charge of the interest of others. Now, here's some other things. Now, I want, as we're talking and defining about the fathership, because it's all about understanding position, understanding God's position, understanding Christ's position, understanding our position in Christ. Remember, it's all the same spirit, but different positions. Amen. So remember, in the scriptures, it says God does not judge, but he's committed all judgment to the Son. Amen. Because that's his position. But it's the same mind of Christ is in the Son as is in the Father. And so the same mind that was in the Son ought to be in us. And so we fulfill our position. And so we're going to look in here about how God entrusts those who have demonstrated that maturity, and then for further down the road. Now, he says here in this definition, creator, preserver of father, the definition of father, creator, preserver, guardian, and protector. And so these are the attributes of a father. We know that God maintains these attributes. We know that Jesus maintained those attributes. And it's not the definition that the world has, but it's the definition that the Bible defines. But creator, preserver, guardian, and protector. And so a pastor ought to define this. A leader in the church ought to display this. A father in a home, a husband in a home as a creator, preserver, guardian, and protector. Protecting from the evil spirits, the worldliness, and different things that are out there. So, you know, as a pastor is preaching against certain things that are rising up in the church, and I believe God gives that gift to a pastor, and, you know, that also in the ministry to for God to speak and to say that this is going on, and to give them the unction, the inspiration to speak on that. Because the fivefold ministry is to keep the congregation clean. Clean from what? Evil spirits that run around. Because the devil's always trying. Where's he trying to work? He's always trying to work where God's moving. That's why different churches fall, is because spirits are allowed to creep in and have their way. And then what is the devil trying to do? Turn the people away from the word. And when you turn the people away from the word, then you lose the power of God. Right? They want the form of godliness, but deny the power of it. And that's the fullness of God. When you allow the fullness of Christ to come through, then there's power. Amen. There's demonstration. Amen. There's the Spirit of God. There's a change. Amen. There's a life. Amen. That's there. Amen. That's the difference between the carnal church and the spiritual church, the Spirit-filled church. And so when something begins to arise, then, you know, the ministry, the pastor may call it out. But also at the same time, God has given us instructions on how to behave ourselves in the church. How to talk to one another. How to deal with things, disagreements that are going on. If we go outside of that, then that's when there's problems. You know, when we have a disagreement with somebody, then, you know, as the scripture is talking about, has trying to go face to face with that person, it's hard. You know, we all fail at that at some point because of this person right here that gets cowardly or says it doesn't matter or whatever, it makes an excuse. And so we say, it doesn't really, it's not a big deal or anything, but to God it is. And so if we have the Holy Ghost, something is bothering us inside. And I'm thankful for that. You get miserable and you feel not good. And nobody wants to feel that way. But they thank God for the Spirit of God that makes us feel that miserableness and then make it right, right? And so if we do that, then the Spirit of God and the power of God can move. And then, you know, you can see the fruits of that. When it's done, then there's the relationship restored. You know, whether it's husband, wife, you know, siblings, brothers and sisters in the church and different things. But, you know, God gives us a way to do that by the Word. In the definition of Father, especially close and intimate relationship with God. Now it says, of Christians, as those who through Christ have been exalted to especially close and intimate relationship with God, and who no longer dread Him as a stern judge of sinners, but revere Him as their reconciled and loving Father. And so you see that there's a couple different ways of understanding fathership, right? So in the Old Testament, because they wanted a law, then they saw God as this judging God and fire and fury and different things, right? And so if I don't do this, then this will happen. And so what kind of a relationship is that if you're always fearing that something's going to happen to you, that there's some kind of consequence that's going to take place? So you'll never fully do what is instructed or what the Father has to say because you're always under fear. And if you understand human dynamics, when you have that type of leadership, you never get the people to really meet their full potential. Because their fear, you know, you can see it in the home. When a father is ruling his house like with an iron fist and he threatens his children with consequences and different things, then it makes the children, because they want to see obedience to the child, but what ends up happening is they're disobedient and they begin to rebel. And so, you know, it's interesting when you're trying to control by an iron fist and threatening and different things that you would see that people would be in submission, but in their heart, there's rebellion. And so in the physical sense, they may be submissive, but it'll pop up once in a while because what's in their heart hasn't changed. And you can see that in different governments and different things. When they beat down the people, then the people want to rise up and they want to take over. And then they do the same thing that the other party did. So they try to push them down, and then it's just this vicious cycle kind of thing. But the Spirit of God is a father that has a relationship with his children. Amen. And so God wants to develop a relationship with us. Amen. You know, Christ wants to develop a relation, an intimate relationship. Not just we come to church and we worship and then we go and then we forget about Him and then until the next time we come to church. But He wants a close, He wants a daily, He wants a constant Amen. Relationship. Amen. And so you know as well as I, when you have a close relationship to a friend or somebody else, that there begins to be a bond there.
That's right.
There begins to be a love. There begins to be an understanding of the other individual. And then you begin to have a strength. There's a closeness there. Amen. There's a mutual support, if you will, Amen. And different things. So God wants to have that with us. Amen. And then God wants a father or a husband to have that with, you know, the wife or the children type of thing. And so, you know, He doesn't want a distant relationship between a father and a son.
That's right.
You know, because that's what a lot of, you know, forgive me those who may not understand, but, you know, the Catholic Church tries to separate, you know, the father from the people and make Him some distant God that we have to go through some person that can, nobody ever prays directly to God. They go through some mediator and different things like that, and they make God look like some old grandpa that you can never, and He's too holy to that you can talk to. But God wants that relationship with us, and He wants that relationship in our home. So as fathers, as parents, to have that intimate relationship with our children, the world wants to get us separated. You know, we know that that's all occurring, you know, because every single device that the devil's putting on in this age, you know, whether it's through the media, whether it's through phones, it's, whether it's through computers, internet, movies, and different things. He's trying to draw a separation. Amen. You know, with the social media and different things, it's trying to draw a separation. Amen. It's the texting and things, it can be good. It can be used as a good tool, but it also can, if you just rely on it solely, it can cause a separation. And so people don't talk anymore. They don't talk face-to-face anymore, because in order to develop a relationship, you got to be with somebody and different things. But they try to say that this is sufficient for communication. It's not communication. You can't see the facial expressions. You don't sense the spirit of the person. You don't feel like being comfortable to be close with somebody that you're just texting and different things. It's almost kind of superficial. It's a mirage of communication, it is. And, but, you know, people will be sitting in the same room and they're texting to each other. And why don't you just talk, you know? But it's a device of the devil, I believe. Right. I'm not saying texting is wrong. We all text. I text in different things. But it can be used for a good thing. Amen. But it can be used for evil as well. Amen. Because it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil that was eaten off of. And so it was eaten off of in an improper way and then caused the fall. Do you understand? And so when we look at things, television, Brother Branham said that that could have been used for good. So it's eating, it's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, but it's being used for evil. And so thank God that we're using the cell phones for good things as believers. It's being used for evil, but we're using it for good things. We have the Bible there. We have the message of the hour there. We're able to communicate with brothers and sisters with that, and those are good things, and share songs, you know, and different things. So that's a good thing. So this is not evil in itself, but how we use it, that's what it is.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Now, the Father of Jesus Christ is one whom God has united to himself in the closest bond of love and intimacy, made and acquainted with his purposes, appointed to explain and carry out among men the plan of salvation, and made to share also in his own divine nature. Now I'm going to try to break down into a few scriptures because I just was taking the word Father in the scriptures and just tracing it back down and just trying to see when he relates to Father, what is he talking about? You know, what is the meaning of what he's trying to talk about? What's the context of it? What are the characteristics? What are the attributes? Because I want to know where he is, and I want to know what my position is in him. Amen. So, Revelations 3:21, talking about the overcoming peace. There's just some thought that came, but it just left me, so I'll just continue on. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. So you can see that it is the Father. So he's talking about himself overcoming, right? Jesus Christ. And then he's now talking about us overcoming. So you see, it's the same. See, he overcame. He had the Spirit of God. He overcame the world. And so we, at the same time, are going to overcome the world just as he did. So you see the progression, and you can see the line of headship here. So you see the Father, you see Christ, the Son, and then you see as he goes down through the leadership of the church, down to the individual. So you can go down to the messenger and how that messenger had to submit themselves and come under the leadership of God, and so that they could bring forth that word and be used as just a pipe to speak to the people and demonstrate that Spirit of God. Now, when a child of God, even a messenger, is demonstrating that Spirit of God, there is that human element. If you remember that Paul talks about it, that enemy, that flesh, Brother Branham says, my greatest enemy, William Branham, talking about the flesh. That's why we cannot lift up the flesh. No matter what individual it is. And so we've got to see that it is the Spirit of God that was working through that man that we are glorifying. So down on the line, you know, the messengers, and then the pastor, you know, has to take that message and completely yield himself to that. And then, you know, through their life to demonstrate. That's why a pastor has to have a good family. That's why the children have to be in subjection, because, you know, that life that's in there, that spirit, if it's the right spirit, is going to bring that family under subjection. A wife that sees that a man is submitted to Christ, then she can follow a man like that, because she knows that he's under submission to a higher authority. But when he goes off on his own and says, you need to do this, and he doesn't have a basis but this, it's hard for a woman to follow that, because I got a brain too. So I might be thinking something better than your idea. But when she sees that he's following a much greater power, then she automatically, it's just the nature of the spirit that falls into that submission. And the children do the same thing. When they sense that atmosphere that's presented by the Spirit of Christ, then they themselves fall under submission to that, and they respect their father. They may not have given their lives over to Christ, but they will respect that man. You understand? Because it's an individual affair of how we give ourselves to the Lord. So that child may not ever come to the Lord and give their heart to the Lord, but they will respect that man. That, I believe that, according to the Scripture. And so, you know, a servant of God, you can see that in the message of the hour that, and I've heard witnesses and testimonies about this, but, you know, God was so putting that man in his hand in such a way that people would just see the spirit and they would sense it. And, you know, you even hear of, like, that you could feel the rush of power moving a few rows down into the audience, right? And some people would just be struck by that and just raise up out of their crutches, because that's the Spirit of God. I mean, you look in the Bible and it's the same thing as the Spirit of God moved upon the earth over the waters. Then the plants began to come up and the animals, and there was life. And so you see it even in the message of the hour when Brother Branham was confronted in that Spirit of God, you know, that maniac man came within proximity, the bull came within proximity, you know, the children and the wife came in proximity of that spirit, that it brought peace. And it put everything that exalted itself above God down under its feet. And so that's the power of God. If we can only yield ourselves to that, then every enemy of God, every spirit will be brought under control. Amen. If we can just yield ourselves to that. Amen. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, O Father, for your word. We know that the hour is late, dear Lord Jesus. And so you're bringing your last seed in, O Father. You're maturing your bride, O Father. You're bringing the word in a way that has never been brought before to open things. Your servant opened this, was used to open the seals, but we need to catch the revelation of what those seals were, dear Father. And so you're helping your bride to receive the revelation, O Lord Jesus. O Lord, may you continue, O Father. And Lord Jesus, as these young men are coming up, O Father, may you bring them up in such a way that they'll take us higher, O Father. Lord Jesus, as the prophet said, young men will take this message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. And so we desire that, O Father, as we wait, O Father, and continue to plow and plant the seeds, O Lord, as the coming of the Lord is at hand. Lord Jesus, bless the service that's approaching, O Father. Bless the song service. Use the man of God, O Lord, to speak to your people in such a way, O Lord, to meet the needs, dear Lord. Lord Jesus, we love you, but we humbly come before you, O Lord Jesus, knowing that there's nothing good in us, O Father. We raise our hands and say, O Lord, help me. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Bless every child of God that's in this building, O Lord, and those could not make it, dear Lord. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Seated. Thank you for...